next on the 5 o'clock report.
The 5 months they've been in office, an absolute disaster unfolding at the border.
Isolating China and imposing real consequences on them for unleashing this plague on the world.
I'll keep on doing this as long as I'm able to do it.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, laughing off the border crisis.
You've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
And I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
That is our top story at 5. Vice President Kamala Harris pressed by NBC's Lester Holt earlier today on why she hasn't been to the U.S. southern border.
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
Only one problem. She hasn't. Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
And so instead she laughs it off and says, well, I haven't been to Europe. Well, okay, you haven't been to Europe, you haven't been to Australia, but we don't have an Australian border crisis. We don't have a border crisis in Europe. We have a border crisis on the southern border.
Senator Cruz says the Biden administration has stuck its head in the sand when it comes to the humanitarian crisis at the southern border.
We've seen in the 5 months they've been in office an absolute disaster unfolding at the border. We are seeing hundreds of thousands of people crossing illegally, the highest rate of illegal immigration in 20 years. We're seeing little children being brought in by human traffickers, thrown in cages.
The vice president says a visit to the southern border would be nothing more than, quote, a grand gesture. Former UN ambassador Nikki Haley.
This is embarrassing. I don't know what the problem is. Clearly she's fearful, but Kamala Harris was given one job. And that was to deal with the border. And any leader knows you can't fix what you can't see.
Today, the vice president wrapped up her two-day trip to Central America after meeting with the president of Mexico. Now to COVID, the new mask rule at school not sitting well with a lot of folks in New York. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Mark Siegel.
New York State only had 500 new cases yesterday, and the positivity rate is less than 0.5%, the lowest in the entire pandemic.
Despite that, Governor Cuomo says kids still got to wear masks in the classroom. Carissa Mayer, a registered nurse and mother of three from Albany.
There's numerous negative and medical implications to wearing masks. Claustrophobia, respiratory issues, and also with learning. Kids are at a much lower rate of learning academically when their face is covered all day.
Last week, the state health department said kids could unmask at school, but yesterday the governor said only if they're outside. Liz Joy, a congressional candidate from New York.
If the Department of Social Services went to a home in the summer with the heat and they saw a child or a teenager with their nose and mouth covered all day long in the heat, that would be deemed child abuse and they would be removed.
Joy says parents need to fight for the right for their kids to go maskless at school.
Our children belong to us, not the government, and I encourage every single parent out there to go to the Board of Education, demand an emergency meeting, demand that a no-mask policy be immediately implemented. If enough parents stand up, which I believe they are, we will win this battle.
Yesterday, rallies were held all across New York calling on the governor to let the kids take those face masks off while at school. There are growing calls to hold China accountable for COVID-19.
So this really is a ripe time to bring our allies along with us in isolating China and imposing real consequences on them for unleashing this plague on the world.
Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton calling for sanctions as evidence mounts that a leaky lab in Wuhan gave birth to this pandemic.
This virus didn't emerge in some remote rural village in a mountain next to a cave full of bats. It emerged in a city larger than New York, just down the road from labs where we know that they were conducting very dangerous research into coronaviruses.
Senator Cotton says if it's proven the virus was man-made, then China should be slapped with sanctions. A U.S. report last year found that the lab leak theory was plausible. More COVID restrictions being eased all across the world as cases continue to drop. Correspondent Cameron McCormick has more from Washington tonight.
The news about new COVID cases is good.
A 94% decrease from COVID-19 cases since January of this year.
CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, the CDC has eased travel restrictions for 61 countries now, including France, Canada, Mexico, and Italy. The U.S. State Department is also easing travel advisories, about 50 so far today.
That's Cammy McCormick reporting, the CEO of the company that shut down the nation's largest oil pipeline during a ransomware attack last month, is apologizing to lawmakers for the disruptions caused by the incident, but Joseph Blount also defending his decision to close the pipeline and pay a multi-million dollar ransom to the hackers.
Private industry alone can't do everything, can't solve the problem totally by themselves. So it's the partnership between private and government is very important to fight this ongoing slot of cyber attacks.
Yesterday, the feds announced that they were able to recover most of the money that was paid out to those hackers. A Senate investigation into the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol has found broad government, military, and law enforcement missteps. The bipartisan review blames a breakdown within multiple agencies and a lack of training for Capitol Police, who were quickly overwhelmed by the rioters. That report did not delve into the root causes of the attack. Still to come this Tuesday, reopening the northern border, a new unemployment website in Pennsylvania, and meet the Stick Man from Central New York.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A tropical flow will continue to keep us in highly humidified air with the omnipresent threat of a shower or thunderstorm. Now, much of the time tonight and tomorrow will be rain-free, but when it does rain, it could pour. Watch for some fog and haze as well. And the weather will stay unsettled right through the rest of the week. The call for tonight, look for a shower, heavy thunderstorm in spots this evening. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy, hazy, muggy, buggy. A stray shower, some areas of fog. Low temperatures not dropping far below 70. But tomorrow, more clouds and sun. A couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms around. High temperatures in the upper 70s to the middle 80s. On Thursday, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Shower here, a thunderstorm there. High temperatures on Thursday within a few degrees of 80.
All right, Kevin Williams at the Weather Center tonight. We appreciate it. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Tuesday, June 8th. One teenager died. Another man was hurt following a workplace accident. Happened in the town of Yates, New York, in Orleans County today. Police say 19-year-old Keegan Bain of Lindenville was killed after getting trapped inside a semi-tank truck to clean it. The other victim, 35-year-old Chase Johnson, was flown to Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester. Police in Buffalo say six officers hurt while trying to arrest a teenage driver last night. Officials say the 16-year-old dragged one of those officers with his vehicle while trying to get away. All of the injured officers are expected to fully recover. That teenager facing a laundry list of charges tonight, including a felony count of assaulting a police officer. The U.S.-Canadian border that's been closed to all non-essential travel since the COVID-19 pandemic began could soon be reopening. Kate Ballingaro is with Bloomsburg News.
What we're hearing up here in Canada is that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is working on a plan to ease Canada's border restrictions for fully vaccinated travelers. So that's people that have two doses, which is more common in the U.S. than in Canada at the current moment. And the government may be announcing that as soon as this week. So there is a lot of excitement on both sides of the border about that for people to be able to reunite with loved ones.
That's Kate Ballingaro reporting. There's no clear indication on when the northern border might reopen to the fully vaccinated. A new unemployment benefits system went online today in PA. The State Department of Labor and Industry says the old system was pushed to capacity during last year's record unemployment when claims topped 1.2 million in the Commonwealth at the peak of the pandemic. Well, with the clock ticking towards the end of the legislative session in Albany, lawmakers there could take up the controversial Medical Aid in Dying Act. That measure would allow the terminally ill to take their own lives.
The bill defines that as someone who's living with an illness that is incurable and irreversible and has a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. It would allow that person to ask their doctor for a prescription that they can take at a time of their own choosing to bring about a peaceful death, so long as they can self-ingest the medication.
Corinne Carey is with the group Compassion and Choices, but several doctors' groups oppose physician-assisted suicide. John O'Brien is a family practitioner at St. Joseph's Health in central New York.
Physician-assisted suicide does not end the hurt. It just transfers it to another person. I refuse to abandon my patients at a time when they need me the most.
Dr. O'Brien says with so much death due to COVID, now is not the time to be ending lives. It's the time to be saving them. Federal investigators seeking information regarding New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's nursing home policies and book deal during the pandemic. Correspondent Scott Pringle.
The Wall Street Journal reports that investigators have subpoenaed material from Cuomo's top aides. The Journal reporting that subpoenas were sent to people involved in the early drafts of his book on the pandemic leadership and for other materials used to pitch the book. The book deal netted Cuomo $5 million. Investigators looking into how Cuomo used state resources to write this and promote it. Now, Cuomo's administration also facing criticism over his coronavirus-related nursing home policies early in the pandemic.
That's Scott Pringle reporting. New York Republicans, meantime, calling on the state legislature to end Governor Cuomo's emergency powers. The chief executive has wielded those powers ever since the pandemic began back in March of last year. Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort says time is of the essence, too, with the legislative session ending on Thursday.
The notion that we could leave here, leaving powers in place, is to me unconscionable.
Republicans outlined a resolution Monday that would terminate Governor Cuomo's emergency powers and return New York to pre-pandemic operations. Another COVID vaccine incentive in New York, this one from the state capitol, the city of Albany, trading parking tickets for shots.
The Albany Treasurer's Office says folks who get vaccinated can now get one outstanding parking ticket voided when they provide proof of vaccination at City Hall, and the program's available to all ticketed drivers, regardless of whether they are Albany City residents. The Treasurer says there are 90,000 outstanding tickets dating back to 2010. Unpaid tickets must be dated prior to June 7th, and the initiative is expected to be in place for at least the rest of the year.
That is Liz Warner reporting. Time now for your market report, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks were mixed today as the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 48% of small businesses have unfulfilled job openings, indicating that labor shortages are emerging. The Dow today down 30 points, the NASDAQ gaining 43, and the S&P 500 adding just 1 point. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're plugged into the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
A man saw a simple two-word message on a lapel pin that really made him think. It read, "Try God." Hi, I'm Rob West with your MoneyWise Minute. Now, we know you can't try God like a piece of clothing you might return if you don't like it. But in Malachi 3:10, God tells us to try him or test him when it comes to giving to his kingdom. It reads, "Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." When we give to the Lord's work with the right motives, God will pour out blessings for us, certainly not always financial, but in ways we cannot imagine until they overflow. Don't believe it? See for yourself. Try God with your finances. Get biblical answers to your financial questions in the MoneyWise community. Download MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store or visit MoneyWise.org.
Let's stop by the Weather Center one more time. Kevin Williams.
McDonald for tonight. Look for a shower, heavy thunderstorm in spots this evening. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy, hazy, muggy, buggy. A stray shower, some areas of fog. Low temperatures not dropping far below 70. But tomorrow, more clouds, the sun, a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms around. High temperatures in the upper 70s to the middle 80s. On Thursday, a mix of clouds and sunshine, shower here, a thunderstorm there. High temperatures on Thursday within a few degrees of 80.
All righty, Kevin Williams, finally at 5, the 72-year-old stick maker from central New York for over 60 years. Alfie Jacques has been making wooden lacrosse sticks from scratch at his home on the Onondaga Nation.
I love making sticks. I get a kick out of this. I have a good time with it.
Jacques says he started making lacrosse sticks with his dad when he was just 12 years old.
We didn't have enough money to buy a stick, and back then they were like $4 or $5 a piece. They were cheap. But we didn't have any money. My dad felt bad about it, and he says one day, let's make our own.
And from those humble beginnings grew a major stick-making operation. Jacques says during the 1970s, he was pumping out over 12,000 lacrosse sticks a year.
In this little building. I don't know how the heck we did it. But we did. It was a lot of work. It was, 24/7. We weren't playing or coaching lacrosse or traveling to a game. We were making lacrosse sticks.
Alfie Jacques says it takes up to a year to make one lacrosse stick properly. And he's one of the few wooden stick makers left in the country.
If I can still make a few when I'm 82, okay, I will. I'll keep on doing this as long as I'm able to do it.
Jacques says he likes to share his craft and his knowledge of lacrosse with younger generations, and that's what pushes him on to the next stick. Year after year. That's the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.